Live across the nation, this is the Steve Henry Show with successful entrepreneur, business coach, and author of the Playbook for Small Businesses, Steve Henry. Steve is here to help you start, grow, and succeed at business. Call Steve now with your business questions at 855-STEVE-55. That's 855-STEVE-55. Today on the Steve Henry Show, Steve's guest is Jim Beach, co-author of School for Startups.
Starting an online business overseas is easier than you think.
And now, here's Steve Henry.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the only small business radio program of its kind. Thanks for tuning in today. You know, we're very excited to be joining the Saturday lineup at Arizona's number one news talk station, KTAR, on December 3rd with a very exciting studio guest for our inaugural show. Details forthcoming. Here's the number one question I was asked in my travels this week. If this labor market is so plentiful, how come we can't find people who want to show up and work? Are you experiencing this problem too? It's a great question, and I believe the answer lies mostly with a few of our elected officials wanting to be seen as compassionate and sensitive to people who've lost their jobs. Now, I am too very sympathetic, but prefer to offer a different approach rather than creating more insecurity by prolonging their unemployment. This won't help restore their confidence. We need to educate those to be thinking starting at the bottom just might lead someday to something bigger. Or maybe they should give a listen to the possibilities of low-risk entrepreneurship. They'll never have to worry about layoffs again. People who've been laid off have, with all their extensions, up to 2 years to get reacquainted with the job market. It's created this wedge between potential employees and employers. If the potential job candidate cannot justify giving up their unemployment for a job that starts them out at the same or less weekly pay than their unemployment, forget about hiring them. They'll be gone at the first sight of a new dawn, offering a dollar more per hour. Over 50% of people looking for work attempt to justify the situation this way. Well, let's see. I'll go and take this job for now. I'll just wait for something better to come along. And this is why, my fellow entrepreneurs, we have people not wanting to show up and work. In a not-so-distant time, most company executives began their careers at entry-level positions with the same company they now help run. Over 40% started their careers below deck before being promoted to upper deck. So what are we entrepreneurs to do? Here is my suggestion. It's absolutely crucial to insulate yourselves from ever being in this position. You need to build your own personnel network. How do you do this? Well, you spoil the employees you have rotten. No. I know you're upset. No. Hear me out. It really works. It's on pages 180 through 184 in the playbook. Something we talk about a lot here on the Steve Henry Show. It's not always about the pay. And one way to begin is to implement Chapter 5, Feed Your Team, from my book, The Playbook for Small Businesses. You'll be making your workplace a value-oriented environment, which creates an atmosphere that sends a clear message to your employees that they rank right next to your customers on the company priority roster. What you'll create is a bond that breeds the mindset, this is your company, and its success relies upon you. Reward them well and acknowledge their commitment to you and your company often. When you examine the return on your investment, you'll immediately see several things come to pass. And here's just three that happen to come to mind. Number one, you won't need a theft prevention department. You know, I remember some poor sap taking a can of ATF fluid, that's automatic transmission fluid, off my shelf to dispense in his personal car. You know, I actually felt sorry for him. My crew chastised him and reprimanded him more than I could ever imagine. Number two, they'll have a deep and genuine interest in your company. You know, I had to fly out of state at least once a week to purchase cars for the dealerships. In my absence, my company couldn't be run better as if I were there. And in fact, they were very concerned about me. The minute the sale ended, how you doing? What'd we buy? When you coming home? How you feeling? Amazing. And number three, you won't ever need an HR department. You'll never have to reach outside the business for hired help ever again. I offered a $100 referral or a free car payment to any employee who referred another member into our growing family. And you know what? I never, ever had to have one of those mandatory, boring employee meetings. My friends, there are three low-risk entrepreneurial topics I hope to cover today, beginning with, do you own and operate an online goods or services business? If you don't, you may want to consider doing so after we unpack the simple, how to implement revenue stream. Very simple. With my special guest today, Professor Jim Beach. I hope you caught his video we've been running all week on how to successfully start your own export company. Some of you have. We've received about 300 hits on our YouTube channel at thestevehenryshow.com and our Facebook page, which features a video that looks ahead at our special guests we interview each week. Now, according to best-selling author Jim Beach, currently less than 1% of the 30 million companies in the U.S. export. One of those that do, and of those that do, only 58% export to only one country. Intimidation and the fear of the unknown, says Jim Beach, is the only logical explanation. So let's begin today's first lesson on how a small U.S. business can capitalize on the global economy with the co-author of The School for Startups. Welcome into the Steve Henry Show, Jim Beach.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Jim,
so
it's good to have you here. Now, would you agree if you can start a timeless chair furniture company in the fall of 2001 in downtown Pakistan, it should bode well for starting an export company here in the U.S. if you're already selling your goods and services online?
Definitely. I mean, that example is one of the best I've ever seen of how in any economy, no matter how bad it is, it's a good time to start a business in a low-risk sort of way.
Okay. Now, for those, Jim, that might have missed the video, how do we do it?
Well, that product was a bet, actually. I was teaching a class then in 2001, right after 9/11, and was saying, you know, this is easy. This can be done. It's possible to start these businesses in a very low-risk way. Mm-hmm. And the class just didn't believe me. I said, well, you know, I guess, Steve, I let the devil get in me and my ego get a little bit crazy, and I was like, I'll bet you I can do it. This can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up making a bet with the class that they got to choose the country and the industry that I would start a business in.
So they put you to the test. And again, we're talking, this is right after 9/11. And,
right after 9/11.
One of the most not so stable parts of the world.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of our problems eventually became that any shipment coming in from Pakistan, of course, had extra inspections because of the, you know, the things that were going on at the macro level.
Certainly.
As well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the class and I made this bet. I had 3 months to get the company up and running in a profitable way, had to have all of the initial cash flow repaid, and we, you know, had to come up with the product right then. You know, one of the lessons that we teach is that creativity is not the important piece of entrepreneurship. Everyone's sitting around waiting for, you know, some sort of creativity lightning bolt, which they, you know, may never come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a large portion, 70% of us want to be entrepreneurs, Steve, but only 10 of us are, and that means 60% is sitting around waiting for something.
Now, why is that, Jim? Is it we're just waiting for that light bulb to flash? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's part of it, or they're afraid of risk. You know, both of my kids are about to go off to college, and I can't afford to, quote-unquote, take the risk right now. And you know, we want to alleviate or just flat-out remove both of those objections from your thinking about entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have an idea right now, Steve, go out there and find one. Make an aggressive search. And most people aren't aggressive. And what I mean is get on Google and type in top 50 free business ideas.
Mm-hmm.
There are entire websites devoted to giving away business ideas. I'll give away a business idea today. I don't think that the idea is the hard part, especially when you go out and start looking for it, you know? You know, all of us, Steve, when we were 20, 21, 25, we decided it was time to go look for a wife, right? How did you do it?
Some of us, yes.
Spent time. Well, most of us.
Yes.
Let's hope most of our audience did.
Right?
How did we do it? We spent time looking for a wife. You know, we would go to church. We'd go to groups. We would, mm-hmm. you know, go and find other common people who shared interests and work on it. It's the exact same thing with our creativity.
I like that.
We can't just sit around and wait.
I like that.
You know, God wants us to take our initiative into our own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to just reward us for sitting on the sofa.
Right.
You need to start a process that says within 1 month, I will have decided on a business that I'm going to start. And in that month, you know, figure out ways to test ideas to see if an idea is a good one to, you know, try and go out and sell it a little bit. If you can sell it a little bit, you know it's going to be a good idea. You've already sold something. But let's go out there and release ourselves from this idea that eventually I will get a great idea and that eventually I will act upon it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Eventually is today. Your great idea is to go on Google and type in top 50 free business ideas and get started today, this afternoon.
That's what we're going to hope. Now, going back to the export idea, I know you hate risk, Jim, but what's the risk here in that export idea?
You know, I've been in debt. I had that horrible time in my life, Steve, like so many people have, you know, before and today, when I owed the bank a lot of money, and I'm talking millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I know what it feels like, and I won't do that again. I won't do that to my family again. You know, it's just not right. And so I've decided that I'm not going to start a business unless I can do it for under $5,000. You know, if you have a job right now, thank goodness, you probably take a vacation or two every year and you spend $5,000 on it.
Right.
I'm going to say let's take one vacation less a year and work harder year-round, but let's start these businesses for under $5,000. The Timeless Chair Import-Export Company was started just that way.
Okay.
And because of that, it makes it really hard to fail. You know, I only have $5,000 invested in something. It's, you know, virtually impossible to not get that money back over time.
Right.
And if you do it right, you'll get that money back over a month, say, and then reinvest it back in the business and keep the wheel going.
Right.
And invest again and again and again.
Right. Now, for those, I'm sorry, Jim, but for those people that saw the video that we displayed almost for a week, you know, overcoming that language barrier. Seems to me the biggest hurdle to overcome is how we communicate with our newly found market. How do we do that?
I've never really had that as a problem.
I couldn't understand a word she said.
I couldn't either, but you know, I never spoke any Pakistani language or Urdu, I believe.
So that's not a prerequisite then, I guess.
No, I've never, and I've never been to Pakistan, even though I had a company, you know, that was creating things in a factory there.
We're going to get into that. And so the topic today, we're going to have three lessons, Jim, and all of these companies that we're going to talk about are started with less than $5,000. Friends, the first lesson today is spelled out in Chapter 5 of The Power of International Trade. That's a book that Jim co-authored. And for a free copy of Jim's book, that is called School for Startups, you know the drill. It's 855-STEVE-55 to the first 15 callers. That's 855-STEVE-55 to the first 15 callers. There's also a special publisher promotion from McGraw-Hill you want to check out on our Facebook page. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Jim Beach. Don't you dare go away.
Outsourced, downsized, outplaced, right placed, laid off, fired. If it happened to you, would you be devastated? Not if Steve Henry can help it. We're back to the Steve Henry Show with Steve's guest, Jim Beach, author of School for Startups, on the Steve Henry Show.
Okay, our conversation continues with author and professor Jim Beach. For $5,000, you can start any business we discussed today through his book and advice. If you want to get a question and perhaps get a perspective on your take of a business, Jim is available here. 602-508-0960 is that local number. Okay, Jim, which countries are the friendliest to do business with?
Oh, before we go on with that, I'd like to throw in something to sweeten the pot to. You were giving away 15 books. I'd like to give away 15 year-long memberships to our learning center.
Wow.
That cost $1,900 a year. I'd like to throw in 15 of those for the first 15 callers as well.
Okay. Jim, thank you so much. I'm sure the audience is going to take advantage of that. Do me a favor. Describe, in addition to the book, what is that they get?
Well, we have 80 hours of online content with absolutely everything that you need to know to be an entrepreneur. How to get an idea, how to bootstrap, how to get funding, you know, how to deal with bank relations, how to do social media, how to use Twitter, how to get to number one on Google, how to buy a business with absolutely no money down. All of these things that we've, you know, developed from teaching for about 15 years each at the MBA level and also being entrepreneurs for 20 years each. And we've taken all of this, put it into one place so that people can learn from it. It's $159 a month. You get the first month free if you buy the book, but we want to throw in a whole year for everybody so that they can really work through the process. That gives them access to us so that, you know, if they have questions and concerns, we can help them over the phone and email as well. So it's a true you know, dedication to saying, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, we want to help. So we want these 15 people to have access to everything that we have to offer.
Terrific. And that's a generous offer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to route one thing here. If we can keep that, we've just clogged my lines, Jim, for questions here. So we're going to go 1-855-STEVE-55. That's 1-855-STEVE-55 for that most generous offer from Professor Beach on that 15 giveaway there. Wow, that's incredible. We certainly appreciate your kindness there. Going back to which countries are the friendliest in which to do business with, Jim?
Well, I would start with the low-hanging fruit, which would be Canada and Mexico. After that, Australia, UK, Germany, France, Japan, China, sort of those places. India also up there. But, you know, every single country has its problems and its big advantages. You know, if I'm going to go into China, I'm going to be worried a little bit about intellectual property protection. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be going to India, I'm going to be worried about whether the power is going to be on all day, every day. Okay. You know, so those are concerns. But overall, I think the thing that's so hard for people to believe, Steve, is that it's sometimes safer and easier to do business internationally than it is domestically.
I read that in your book. And it's also easier, you point out.
Yeah, it is. You know, the thing that I find the most unbelievable that people just never think of is that if you do business with, say, Iowa or something like that, there's not going to be a letter from your bank that guarantees that unless an asteroid hits the Earth, you're going to get paid. However, if you're doing business with Thailand or Taiwan, you're going to have a letter from your bank that says, unless that asteroid hits, you're going to get paid. Your business is going to get paid. You ship the stuff, you're going to get paid. That's a really, really nice, low-risk way to do business. I love having a letter from my bank that guarantees that I'm going to get paid.
Now, that sounds too good to be true. Explain that for me.
Well, it's a simple letter of credit. You know, one of the problems with international business is that you can't just write them a check, or you can't just, you know, send them PayPal or something like that. You know, somehow it's going to have to be a little bit more formalized. And when businesses, even small businesses, send $1,000 or $1 million worth of goods overseas, there's this device called the letter of credit. Now, you have to pay for it. It costs, you know, maybe a 0.5% or 1% of the transaction. But again, that's just something built in, just like you would pay for shipping insurance or anything else. But that letter guarantees that you're going to get paid. Think about it. You have a relationship with your bank. The foreign customer has a relationship with their bank. And every bank in the world has a relationship because, you know, banks have to deal with each other forever, you know, not just with one particular customer.
Right.
But banks must, you know, maintain a good working relationship, you know, despite who the customer is.
How knowledgeable, Jim, do we have to be with the exchange rates and the different currencies if we do
zero? It's totally irrelevant. You know, on the morning that you make the transaction, you'll find out what the currency is, and boom, that'll be it, and you'll never think about it again. So don't worry about it. You know, if you hear it going up and down, that's not going to change what's happening on your particular transaction. And the shifts are always really small. You never hear about a 5% currency shift. You hear about a 0.5% or a 1% currency shift. I wouldn't worry about it at all. You know, that's not something I'm going to lose sleep on.
All right, I'm going to pose to you an opportunity. For $5,000 or less, you know, I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and every year, probably around late August, it's all about the green chili harvest coming up from Hatch, New Mexico. Gunny sacks by the tons are purchased by consumers that don't seem to mind waiting in line for hours at the grocery store to get them roasted. You know, it's an acquired taste, and once you've had one, you're hooked. You'll never do a canned one again. But a few years ago, I believe it was about 4 or 5 years ago, I shipped some to some soldiers from New Mexico serving in Iraq. They wrote me back, and they told me the natives had never seen them but loved them and wanted more. Your thoughts on how I could start exporting that idea into a business?
Well, an agricultural product is a difficult product. I've been involved with Christmas trees, import and export, in the past. You know, those are things that you have to think about. I think the easiest way to do it would be to export the raw product unaltered in any way, you know, as close to nature as possible. And then when it's there, teach someone there who's a lot cheaper labor than you're going to pay here in the United States or even in Mexico to do the final processing that would be necessary. I think it would, you know, not spoil as much that way. It'd be a lot easier for regulations. It's going to be easier to get it in and out of particular countries that way. And it provides a job for an Afghan who needs it as well. So in many ways, it's a good scenario. But I think you're going to want to put off, you know, actually altering the product as long as possible, because raw materials get through, your raw agricultural products get through far easier than any other type of agricultural product.
Mm.
So do service, the work actually in Asia.
Right, and services would be pretty, that's a no-brainer, I would imagine. We're coming up against another break, but I promise you we got two long segments coming. Okay, if you got exactly 4 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, to grab that snack, respond to those messages, or freshen up, because when we come back, you definitely don't want to miss what I'm going to share with you. Here's a clue. He once owned the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Phoenix Suns. You might know who that is. We'll be right back.
72% of Americans secretly wish they could be an entrepreneur. Only about 8% actually are.
That's my business. That's what I do.
It's time to rock the economy. Here's more on The Steve Henry Show with Steve's guest, Jim Beach, author of School for Startups.
On December 3rd, live in the studios of KTAR, The Steve Henry Show welcomes two of Arizona's biggest icons.
Hi, I'm Jerry Colangelo, and I'm standing in front of the Wigwam Resort, a place I'm very proud of. We're about to enter the centennial year here in the state of Arizona, and we're proud to have the Wigwam a part of that. It's a great historic place, iconic, and we hope you come and enjoy it whenever you can.
Wow, that's going to be a great show, ladies and gentlemen. That is on December 3rd at the KTAR 92.3 studios. Okay, we have Jeff and Chandler. Before we get on to the next lesson, Jeff, hang on just for a second. But if you would, Jim, for me, repeat for the audience, because we are overwhelmed. We're going to have to figure out some kind of a lottery system. Did I thank you for that, Jim? It's incredible. But one more time.
You're very great.
one more time, that offer, sir.
A year on the Learning Center, $159 a month. I think that comes out to around $1,900 for the year. We'll make it free, and you'll have our support. You know, we are the type of professors that want you to succeed. You call us, we're going to spend time on the phone and help you with your problem. And, you know, another thing I'd like to do, Steve, I'll give out my email address, and the people who don't win can still contact me, and I'll still help them.
You know, Jim, you are...
That's all I want to do is help these people start business.
And, you know, that's what we're here for, and God bless you for that. What is that email address, sir?
James.Beach, B-E-A-C-H, at att.net. James.Beach at att.net. I answer it myself, and I would love to help people. I mean, we just want people to start businesses because, as you said, that is what's going to revive this economy.
It is, and it's up to
get
us.
Get people back to work.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. That's and Jim is the co-author of School for Startups, ladies and gentlemen. We're giving that book away, too, at 855-STEVE-55. Everything we talk about today, by the way, is in the book. It is a fascinating book from somebody who's done it not only once but several times. Before we go to raising capital, and we're jumping here because I want to try to get to all three lessons. Jeff and Chandler, you have a question. Welcome in, sir, to the Steve Henry Show.
Hi, Jim. I wanted to, well, by the way, thank you. I got in under the wire to get the offer, which is great. I'm very excited about it. I wanted to ask you, is it possible, I mean, I know there's such, you know, import-export, but to focus on the export side of things, and only because I would like to help our balance of trade in my own little way.
Absolutely. There's this big misconception that American products are either not liked or too expensive overseas, and just I've never found either of those perceptions to be true. Foreigners love American items and are usually willing to pay a significant premium for them. And I never have a problem charging extra for something and positioning it as the best. And that's right. What always resonates is to say, you know, this is American made. It's the best that there is.
Sure.
And I'm going to charge a premium for it. I don't think that that's an outlandish thought at all. And there are several websites out there that are designed to help you. If you go to, like, Alibaba.com, that will list people who are around the world trying to buy products. And I would go and compete with the Italians and the Japanese and the Chinese and say, you know what, your stuff may be cheaper, but Exactly. Your stuff is cheaper. My stuff is better. And not be afraid to stand up and say, you know what? We make the best stuff here in America and the world. You know what Chinese quality is. This is American made. We're people who are proud to say made in the USA on our stuff. Yep. So absolutely, Jeff, I'm 100% a big fan of raw material exports and finished good exports. My favorite, of course, is service exports. If you can figure out a service that's popular here in the United States, for example, they just opened drive-through 2 years ago in China, you know, think of things that are popular here in the United States that you can make money doing for services here, and those are also going to be very successful overseas as those economies become more and more service-based as well. So, yes, Jeff, go for it.
That's great. Jeff, I hope that answers your question. And by the way, you're going to love the offer that Jim presented for you today. I appreciate the call, sir, into the Steve Henry Show. Keep listening, and we hope to have you as a fan forever there.
You bet. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, sir. Friends, you don't have to be a creative genius. Just grab an idea you're passionate about and execute it better. In Jim's book, he has over 30 ideas to start a business. It's in the appendix of his book. That book is School for Startups, and you can have that. I believe we still have maybe some of the other. I don't know for sure, but it's 1-855-STEVE-55 to get what we're offering. It's incredible to become the best entrepreneur you can. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare go anywhere.
Start, grow, and succeed in business.
These idiots, they get your phone number.
We're back to the Steve Henry Show with Steve's guest, Jim Beach, author of School for Startups.
That is correct. We are back to the Steve Henry Show, my favorite segment. It does give us some time to speak and learn through this last bit of capitalism we call entrepreneurship. And it's up to us, ladies and gentlemen. We have given all of Mr. Beach's most generous offer away today, and then some, Jim. Again, if I hadn't thanked you enough for that, our phones are jammed here for that giveaway. The book, though, we still want to continue to give that away. 855-STEVE-55. That's Jim Beach's book. That is the School for Startups, where you will get every bit of information and then some, of course, that we can't cover in 1 hour. We really do need 2 to 3 hours to do this show. I want to go on to the next lesson, if I may, Jim. It's raising capital. And most aspiring entrepreneurs get stuck into believing the only way to grow a business is to raise capital through a bank or family members or to harass a poor friend. But Jim Beach, you have a better idea. It's referred to as bootstrapping. What is this?
Well, you know, there's another place to raise capital from. It's called selling stuff to your customers. And when you do that, it allows you to do what you just said, bootstrap. Mm-hmm. Bootstrap literally refers to, you know, when you're stuck in the mud, you have to do, you know, reach down into your true essence as a human being, grab your shoelaces and pull your boot out of the mud with your hand. It's when things are that bad. Mm-hmm. But when things are that bad, we don't spend money. We do things incredibly conservatively. We focus on cash flow. In the book, I think we have 23 different tricks that you can use to preserve cash in the very beginning of a business. And we also tell stories of successful entrepreneurs who, you know, have started businesses using these methods. You think, I want to start a restaurant or a place like that. Well, that's going to cost $1 million. Well, there's a story in the book of a guy named Joey Tatum who started a restaurant for under $5,000. 15 years, the place is still in business. He now owns 12 other businesses that he also bootstrapped using his own internal cash flow and not worrying about going out there and raising money. You can spend years raising money, or you can spend years selling product. I'd rather be selling product. There's another story about a lady named Tierra Reed. Tierra wanted to start a retail store, a high-end fashion store, but you know, she only, again, had $5,000 and accepted our $5,000 limit as mantra, and she realized that she, you know, for $5,000 she couldn't do what she wanted. So she scaled back her desire a little bit and said, you know what, I can start a consignment clothing store for $5,000. And I can use the cash flow that it generates. And over time, I can slowly grow this business. And now 3 years later, she's successful enough that she can afford to bring in her own high fashion and other designer goods into the store and actually have her own inventory that she couldn't afford in the beginning because she did bootstrap. You know, there's so many ways that you can you know, buy off of Craigslist or, you know, borrow things or get, you know, loans from your customers. One of the things the restaurant guy did is he went out and said, I'm selling this table. This table will be yours, Steve Henry. Every time you come to the restaurant, this is your table.
I like that.
If you give me $500 today.
Right. That's not the three-level bar guy idea. That was a...
That's a totally separate idea. That's the exact opposite.
Exactly. And that's in that book, too. And, Jim, is it not true, the more money that you borrow and you receive, you'll spend twice as fast on things you don't need?
That's right. You know, one of the biggest mistakes I ever made was getting a bunch of money. And we went out and bought a new Apple laptop computer and a new Ariane chair for every employee. The things that they didn't need. Now, having money is a bad thing sometimes. You know, it's counterintuitive, but when you have money, you spend it stupidly. You spend it on things that you would never spend money on if money were short. And so I like a business that is constrained by $5,000 because it forces you to do things conservatively, to really think hard before you spend any money, not to waste any money, and to have a much more properly focused business operation in the first place. You're thinking about conservation, not, ooh, I can spend. If I just close this account, I can go get this new car. But that's the problem that you get into. Let's build our mindset from the beginning of one of conservation, internal cash flow, and building slowly on the funds that I actually have in my hand now.
Great stuff. Lots of phone questions. We're going to get to everybody here as fast as we can. William, you're in Phoenix. You're up on the Steve Henry Show. A question for Professor Jim Beach, sir.
Yes, Jim. I've looked at franchises, and most of them tell you you've got to grow fast, and they use the example of getting an airplane off the ground. You got to get fast and get going, and then you get it off the ground, and then you can cut back on the throttle. How does that work? I'm trying to bootstrap a business myself right now.
Well, think about it. The franchise is trying to sell you something, more franchises, and they are not, in many cases, going to be honest enough to say that you should really get really good at this one franchise before you get your second and third. We do like franchises because it's a business that comes with a book, you know. It comes with a manual, and we do see a tremendous amount of value in that. If you have $40,000, $60,000burning a hole in your pocket, that I think it's a great thing to go off and start a franchise. But realize that their interest is the opposite of yours. You know, your interest is to make money for you. Their interest is for you to spend your money and give it to them. So the advice that anyone associated with a franchise gives you is necessarily tilted to make that industry money. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but just keep that in mind. We do like franchises, but that's a lot of money to spend. $40,000 is a lot of money to put down on any business, when you might be able to do the same thing for less and own more and not have to rely on someone else. So I'm a big fan of franchises. It depends on the industry, depends on the company, and depends on your personal objective. You know, William, I love your name, William. I have a son named William. What are your personal objectives, William? Why do you feel like you have to have a franchise as opposed to starting from scratch yourself?
Well, I'm not going that rate because I don't have them, the 40,000 right now. But I just know that their idea, even if it's just one, you want to get it up and running. And, of course, they want you to get the franchise fees up there. And
sure.
Even if they don't want you to get multiple locations, they still want you to get that volume up for the franchise fees. And
right.
I'm just...
Again, you know, their motive is different from your motive. And the number one thing that I'm about is reducing the risk that I have to sleep with at night and that I have to tell my wife about.
And that's
so
right. And
I'm not going to do that personally. I'm personally willing to grow slower and to sleep better at night. That's a trade-off that I'm personally willing to make. And
well, thank you.
I'm sorry?
No. Before you get gone and cut off, I do want to thank you for it, but I would like you to continue the talking, too, so I'm not cutting you off.
Well, I'll tell you what, William. Good news for you, William. You are a recipient of Jim's generous gift today. You will be able to contact him up to, I think it's the first 5 years. No, I'm just kidding, Jim. But it is a good long time. William, you are a recipient of that. I want you to take full advantage of that. Continue to listen to the Steve Henry Show. I've got to go. I wish you the best, sir. And again, you're going to be partaking in Jim, and you guys will have several conversations, I'm sure, throughout the year. We're going to go to Jerry. Jerry is waiting in Princeton, Kentucky. And I believe, Jerry, we have a mutual friend together in Shelly Sun. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Welcome into the Steve Henry Show, sir. It's great to have you aboard. What can we do for you today?
I follow your show all the time.
Why, thank you, sir. A question perhaps for Mr. Beach today.
Yes. What did you guys think about what the IFA's effort was on VetFran yesterday?
I don't know if I caught that. I was in a plane pretty much all day. That's the vet financing through IFA. Are you familiar with that, Jim?
No, I'm really not. I do know that I did hear that the story was out there, and I do believe that if anyone deserves special attention, it's our veterans. Amen. There's another organization out there that has great loans for veterans that I want to mention. It's SCORE, the Retired Executive Corps. They're also doing a lot to help veterans as well, but I'm not a big fan of my taxes going up, but whenever it does, I would like it to help the veterans.
Well, I agree with you because I'm a big fan of SCORE also.
Yeah, SCORE's got great stuff, and they have a veteran loan package out there right now that we need to tell more people about. So SCORE, they have...
Well, yesterday the IFA did an initiative with Michelle Obama, and they launched this whole veteran commitment from the IFA, from all the franchisors, including Aaron's, suppliers, Guidant Financial, UPS, and they've committed to a huge number of jobs for veterans coming back. And by the way, I'm proud to be a veteran.
Well, we appreciate your service, and I love any program like that. I think that's the way our tax dollars should be spent. And so I'm a big fan. Again, call SCORE, and they have things in addition to what you were just talking about, Jerry.
Yeah, and Jerry, congratulations to you. You are also a recipient of Jim's wonderful offer. And again, as of yesterday and every day, thank you for your service, sir.
I follow your show all the time, Steve. It's wonderful.
Why, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. And we're going to be making a move here. We'll get you on board there as well. And thank you for your support. And if you get on Shelly's post site there, make sure we all say hi here from the Steve Henry Show. Shelly Sun from Bright Star was on Undercover Boss. She was on the show here a couple months ago, a good friend of Jerry's and a good friend of ours. Thanks again, Jerry. Greatly appreciate it, sir. Okay, we are back with just a few questions. Jim, I'm just going to go down the line here. I can't believe, and I want to thank everybody, Judy, Jennifer, all of you that are waiting on the phone. We're not going to be able to get to you, but I've got some questions I want to get through with Jim here before we leave. Jim, is this a good time to start a low-risk business?
Now's the best time ever.
Tell me why.
The economy is irrelevant. If you can sell it today, think how many you'll be able to sell in 2 years when we have a new administration in the office. And the economy is starting to pick up again. If I can sell it in a good economy, you don't know if you can sell it in a bad economy. Mm-hmm. Bad economies test you more, make you get your pitch better. I'd rather start a business today than 2 years from now.
That's great stuff. What is the most effective marketing strategy for a low-risk entrepreneur?
Viral marketing. Go out there and make your first customer love you so much that they're going to tell all of their friends about you. Say, you know what, you're my first customer, and my entire business is relying on you being 200% satisfied. Don't let me stop until you're 200% satisfied, and then I want you to tell every single person you know about me. So overperform and then beg people to, you know, become your evangelist and to go out there and talk about you. Nothing that I said cost any money.
Right, and that's pretty easy to do in this economy. There's a lot of poor service being dispensed out there, and
exactly.
The ones that shine will shine above. When advertising a company's product or service, I know you don't like cliches. Why not?
The value proposition needs to be very, very clear. In 7 words, I should be able to make you cry. I should be able to make you want my product so much that your next question is, how many credit card numbers can I give you?
Mm-hmm.
And I can do that. A good ad really will bring out the essence. And I had a company that was a summer camp company, and we thought that if we were selling summer camp services. What we found out, we were actually selling happy children. And when I said that, I was like, ma'am, I'll make your child happy for the first time ever. That lady would give me all of the money she had. And so when we figured out that's what we were selling and that's what we were advertising,
right,
our ad changed. It didn't say summer camp. It said, we'll make your child happy. People can respond to that.
They sure can. This is living proof, ladies and gentlemen, that we definitely need a two-hour show. Professor Jim Beach, he is the best-selling author of School for Startups and has given away a most generous gift today. You're going to be very busy with this one, Jim.
I hope so.
Any last parting thoughts? I got about 30 seconds, sir.
Get off the sofa today, turn the TV off, go start a business today.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss my special guest next week. She's Arizona's own Michelle Robeson from EmpowerHer.com. Michelle will share her amazing story of survival and how she started her new endeavor live in the studio. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody. I'm sorry we didn't get to you on the phones. Perhaps email or Facebook. We will get back to you. Have a great week.